This is Aaron Palmer with 307 Net Radio, and I'm sitting down with State Representative Barry Crago. A few things we wanted to touch on. There was some of those abortion bills that were discussed, and there were some recent amendments to those. How did that go, and what was the thinking of the legislature there?
Sure. So that was all in regard, so far in the House, all in regard to only one bill so far, which is House Bill 152. And I think there's another abortion type bill coming over from the Senate later, but we haven't seen that yet. But the one that we debated and ultimately passed through the House was House Bill 152. And, you know, I think a lot of us, most of the lawyers on the floor for sure, not most, all of the lawyers on the floor for sure, had issues with the way it was drafted. And we were just really concerned about its constitutionality as drafted. There was just a lot of, for example, there was a lot of findings in there that referred to provisions Constitution that I don't think we should be referring to, for example, religious freedoms. And there was another one referring to property rights. And there were just all these parts of the findings in particular that were problematic. Another one of the findings that we thought was unconstitutional was the finding that the legislature has equal right to interpret the Constitution, which is actually a job of the judiciary and the court system. And so we tried, we talked about it a lot. We debated it a lot. We tried to bring amendments. And every time we did, the sponsors of the bill were unwilling to work with us to try to make it better. And so at the end of the day, we just felt the bill was completely unconstitutional and is not going to pass constitutional muster. So I ended up bringing an amendment at the very end that said this bill only goes into effect if the abortion ban that was passed last year is found unconstitutional. Because what I'm afraid of is that, let me back up. This bill repealed what we did last year. So if this bill is found unconstitutional, we won't have any pro-life legislation in place. And I think the actual more constitutionally sound statute is the one we passed last year. And so I guess I'd like to see that one make it through the litigation. If the Supreme Court says that one's unconstitutional, then this law would take its place. And so the bill we passed last year was called the trigger law. This one essentially is going to be another trigger. So it's the trigger for the trigger, essentially. And I just want to make sure, and my purpose in bringing the amendment is to make sure we have the best chance at having a pro-life piece of legislation within the green books, within the statute books. And that's what it really boiled down to, just a difference of opinion on whether or not this particular law is constitutional or not. Proposed law, I should say.
So what is the status of this bill right now? Did it pass the House then?
It did. After my amendment, it passed the House overwhelmingly. 46 votes. And I think, you know, in talking to my colleagues, most people weren't comfortable voting for it as is, you know, without the amendment, because they too felt like what we passed last year had a better chance of surviving the court's scrutiny. And so, but we also understood the argument from the other side, which was, well, what if that one doesn't? This one, you know, we're trying to correct some of the problems we see in last year's bill, which I didn't see those problems, but that's the proponents of this bill do. And, you know, we had a disagreement about that. So I thought this was, you know, sort of a middle ground. We can have both of them on the table. And so that was the point.
Compromise to make sure that it works for everybody.
That's right. That's what I was trying to do. Not sure everybody sees it that way, but that was the intent. This is a compromise where we can actually pass the bill, because I'm not sure it would have passed without the amendment, to be honest.
Property taxes are still being discussed by everyone back home, and I'm assuming everywhere else around the state. So give us an update, please, as to where we're sitting with property taxes and where you think this is going to go.
Okay. So since you and I talked last week, the only other property tax bill that we talked about on the House side was the constitutional amendment, which actually I was a co-sponsor on, which allowed us to create a separate class of property for residential, because right now there's only three classes of property within the Constitution, and we have to treat them similarly to a degree. But by creating a separate class for residential, we could actually tax homeowners at a lower rate. That bill failed yesterday. The Freedom Caucus killed that bill for some reason. I'm not sure why. And to be honest with you, it was the only real reform bill that we've seen in the House so far. All the other ones were just Band-Aids. This one actually would have fixed a long-term problem. And I can't tell you why the Freedom Caucus part of the House voted it down, but they did. And it takes a two-thirds majority because it's a constitutional amendment, you know, and so it takes, you know, most of the body to make that happen. And so I voted for it, but it failed.
Let's talk about House Bill 4, which is the Medicaid for Moms. And my understanding is, if I have this correct, that we already have something on the books, and it's already in place, but it's only for a very short amount of time. And this will expand that to 12 months. Is that correct?
That's right. So the current, we're not creating a new program, and this is not Medicaid expansion. And really what this was is it's an extension of the current term. So right now, actually right now, the 12 months exists. But as of, I believe, May 1st, it would go back to 2 months. And part of that has to do with regulations that were put in place during COVID and whatnot. But and before, you know, 3 years ago, before COVID and all that, it was 60 days. And so I want to say around May 1st, somewhere along that lines, it goes back to May 1st, or excuse me, it goes back to 60 days. And so what this bill did, it says we're going to keep that at the 12 months like it has been for the last 3 years. It's actually a relatively low cost. It's services about, on average, about 1,200 moms annually. And the cost was, in the overall scheme of things, was minimal. It's much different than the Medicaid expansion bill that was proposed, which would, you know, the price tag on that one conceivably is a lot bigger. This one was, I want to say less than, I want to say $1.8 million or something like that.
Can we talk about the 988 suicide prevention or suicide line, I guess it is, and where that sits and where everybody in the legislature's thinking it's going to go?
Sure. So on the, you know, it passed out of the House side, but without the trust fund that was really originally proposed. What there was original proposal to put into savings, I want to say $40 million, if I remember correctly, put into savings that amount and just let the interest every year pay for the fund. So it didn't have to come out of the general fund. And then that was defeated. So then there was another amendment to try to at least fund it past next year. That was also defeated. And so now it's just on an annual appropriation out of the general fund, which there's good and bad about that. That's always a good policy discussion. Do we want to use savings to pay for some of these programs? I.e., do we want to let interest or income off the savings pay for some of these? Or do we want to use general fund tax dollars to pay for them every year? You know, it passed out of the House. To be honest with you, I haven't looked to see where it is on the Senate side or if they've heard it in committee yet. I think ultimately it'll pass because there's no, right at this point, there's no money attached to it. It's just the program already exists. You know, we're already running these call centers. There's two of them in the state. We're already doing that. And so this is just sort of, I guess, clarifying what we're doing in statute. I thought it was a good idea. You know, I've told you before and told all the listeners at home that mental health is an important issue to me. And so if anytime we can try to help with that problem, I'm going to be there and be on board.
Can you tell me this session, how it's different than others that you've been involved with? And secondly, how do you see the last half of the legislative session unfolding?
You know, I would say one, it's been a lot slower pace. You know, we didn't get through as near as many bills as normal, and you know, there's probably a multitude of reasons for that, but for whatever reasons we didn't get through as many bills, so that's different. There's a lot of new people, and so the debate is different. Not bad, not good, just different. It's just because of the multitude or large proportion of new people, there's just, you know, the process is different. And so that's, you know, for me, that's different. I guess for me personally, once you come back as a, you know, once you've been here once and you come back, well, now you're sort of a veteran, right? And so there's a different level of responsibility. I've said you don't know what you don't know. And so the first term is ignorance is bliss, right? You don't know what you should be doing. And when you come back for your second round, just a different level of participation and responsibility.
Those are the questions I have for you this week, Mr. Crago. Anything that you would like to add or that you would like to touch on that I haven't brought up?
No, I don't think so. You know, we're getting into the Senate bills now. We're doing Senate committee files, you know, files coming out of the committee, Senate files coming out of the committee. And so those are, you know, interesting. Most of those have been vetted. And so those aren't near as controversial. When we start getting into some of the personal bills, of course, those get the debate gets a little more exciting. And so that'll probably start happening next week sometime. But, you know, just keep watching, keep an eye out. Let me know if there's something I can do for the folks back home and have them reach out to me. Everybody needs to reach out to me by email or phone when they feel like it.
State Representative Barry Crago at the legislative session in Cheyenne. This is Aaron Palmer with 307 Net Radio. Thanks again for joining us, Barry, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you, Aaron.